Y'all ready for class?
Good. Good. Tonight I want to continue dealing with the imagination. I know we've been spending a lot of time on imagination, but it's very, very important. Your imagination is important because it determines what's going to happen in your future. Your imagination is the precursor to your reality. And so we have to understand how to properly use our imagination. We've been discussing it for the past month and a half, the imagination. But I want to make sure that you understand how to properly use your imagination. Now, I want you to, I want to make sure I make this clear. Your imagination is a precursor to your reality, or it's where your reality comes from, but it does not produce your reality. There's a difference. It's where your reality comes from, but it does not produce your reality. Your reality comes from the supernatural, both good and bad. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things are seen were not made by things which do appear. So that means everything that is made comes from a place that's unseen. And God gave us the tool in which we can create what we want our future to look like. Now, here's the thing about the imagination. Notice I did not say that your controlled imagination brings your reality. I said your imagination brings your reality, not your controlled imagination. So what I mean by that, just because you came up with it don't mean it's going to happen. Just because you thought of it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And this is where we as Christians have to understand the proper use of our imagination. Let's go to Genesis, the 11th chapter. I give you exactly my, I'm going to prove my statement. I didn't know how I was going to prove it, because I know the Holy Spirit said it, but sometimes you got to trust him and say it, and he'll give it to you right on the spot. Genesis, the 11th chapter. No, Genesis, the 6th chapter, I'm sorry. Genesis, the 6th chapter. I think it is 6 or 11, one or two, we'll get there. Let's see, let me see which one it is. Leaning toward 11. Yeah, 11. Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Genesis, the 11th chapter, and verse 5. Now we know this story, very familiar story. Talking about the Tower of Babel. A group of people got together, said we're going to build a tower on into heaven. All right? And they began to do it. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, watch what he said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have what? Imagined to do. Watch verse 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So that the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So here it is. God himself said they're going to be able to accomplish this because they imagine this, they imagine to do, right? But what happened? God came down and confused their language. So just because it's an idea you come up with doesn't mean that's going to become your reality. So you say, well, Brother Leroy, why are you saying this? Why are you talking about our imagination is a precursor to our reality, or what we imagine becomes can become our reality? is when we begin to allow God to get involved with our imagination. When we allow God to get involved with our imagination, that's when it's no doubt that our imagination becomes our reality. Because once my thought life and my movies in my mind, that's what your imagination is, my movies become God-directed, God-written, God-produced, God-directed, God-casted. Hope y'all catch this illustration. When we allow God to cast the participants in our movie, when we allow God to direct it, when we allow God to produce it, when we allow, produce means to fund, when we allow God to write it, that's when it's guaranteed that our imagination can become our reality. Do you have any biblical scripture for that? Yes, I do. Joshua, the sixth chapter. In Joshua 6 chapter, God told Joshua, I need you to see that I've given you Jericho. Fifth chapter thing. God, you have to see. God told him, see, I've given you Jericho. So that means that Joshua had to pause and imagine God giving him Jericho. Now, is God written? There's God written. Because God promised him years before Joshua was ever born, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Is it God produced? Yes, God is the one who funded them with the necessary power to get this done. Was it God directed? Yes, they doing it how God say to do it. Is it God casted? In other words, did God choose the right participants, the actors in this particular movie that he was imagining? Yes, he did. He allowed God to do all this. Once he did that, then God say, this is what I want you to do. When he did it, that's when they marched around. That's when God gave them Jericho. So our imagination is the precursor to our future, but we have to allow God to paint the picture. We have to allow God to write the movie. We have to allow God to direct it, to produce it, to give us the right thoughts. Is this making sense? Because a lot of times we think, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is where the world system differ from us. Because they're sitting there trying to imagine stuff to do and don't realize it's a principle, but some of the stuff they do work and some of it don't work. But here we are as Christians, because the secret is we're willing to give up control when those in the world system will not give up control. I'm willing to submit my life to the Father. Father, mold me, shape me. You're the potter, I'm the clay. God created me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. I'm willing to do these things, so that means I open myself up for God to pour himself into. When I allow that, then God freely lets me see my future with my imagination. The difference is in the world system, people don't want to give up control. They want to be the master of their destiny. They want to control the outcome. They want to have total control over what they accomplish, what they get. When we allow God to have total control, it opens us up to achieve and reach dreams that we never even thought we can reach. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I had not seen, ear had not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. What do you think Revelation do? Revelation paints pictures. When something is revealed, your mind gets to clicking. When something is exposed to you that you weren't exposed to before, your mind begins to imagine things. And so what it does is God now directing that movie. See, so we have to get used to God directing our imagination. We have to know we need God's direction. We need his production. We need to know how to allow him to cast the right people in our movies. Is that making sense? Now, you say, well, how do I, because see, here's the thing. Your imagination feeds off of information. So if your imagination feeds off information, if pictures are produced based on the information you're exposed to, you're going to have to guard the information that you receive. Listen to me, Ned. You've got to guard the information that you're receiving. That means you can't be hanging. It's not about positive thinking. You just can't hang around somebody who don't believe that you're supposed to prosper. You just can't talk around. You just can't talk with them. You can't have extended conversations. You cannot have extended conversations with people who don't believe in divine health. You can't do it. You can't have extended conversations with people who have never experienced or have never or have had bad experiences with relationship with other people. You can't go to them and talk about how good family life is, because they will snatch the goodness right out you. Because then they'll start talking about how bad their family life is. So what happened? Once you expose the information, now you have to deal with the pictures they produce. Every piece of information, every sentence, every audible sound you hear that's legible and that you can understand, it creates a picture. So you have to begin to work diligently in guarding these things. You say, well, how do I, if I do hear something I'm not supposed to hear, if I do hear something contrary to what I'm believing God for, if I do hear something contrary to what I know I'm supposed to have, how do I combat that? Well, it's very easy. Go to Acts, the first chapter. I'm going to show you. Now, you think this has nothing to do with your imagination, but what we're about to go to has everything to do with your imagination. Acts, the first chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is very good. I hope this helps you. Acts, the first chapter, verse 8. Just Jesus talking, he said, but ye shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, since you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay, what that means, the Holy Ghost come upon you? Go to chapter 2. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Here's the key statement: as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Other words, they began to speak in a language that was unknown to them. They didn't understand. But as they began to put audible sounds out, the Holy Spirit began to put meaning to those sounds. Just like you can hear me talk now, I'm saying it in a certain diction, in a certain phonetic, and you can understand what I'm saying. So that means I'm not talking gibberish to you. When I talk to you, you're able to understand what I'm saying. So as you understand what I'm saying, you are painting pictures in your mind of what I'm saying, because you're understanding what I'm saying. So as I send out the audible, I'm also sending out utterances or the meaning that fills the audible. Is that making sense? When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're giving audible sounds, but the Holy Spirit is filling our audible sounds with meaning that only God can understand. Now you say, how is that helping my imagination? Glad you asked. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Before we even go to the 14th chapter, go to Jude 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jude 20. That is good. It is good to go there first. Jude 20. How do I combat information that I've received that's contrary to what I know God wants me to have? When I know I'm supposed to prosper, but I have a financial setback. I'm being real. When you have a financial setback, your imagination runs crazy. If y'all gonna be real with me. When you have a financial setback, your imagination starts going crazy. Then you start wondering, you start questioning. Then if you allow it to linger too long, it takes root. If it takes root, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to grow. Jude 20, watch what Jude 20 says. But ye, beloved, what it says, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. So if I'm building myself up, it's got to be two things that this scripture is talking about building up myself. I can either be building up from an established platform, or I can be building up from a torn down platform. Doesn't matter, but it's still building up. So here it says, I'm building up yourselves on your most holy faith, or pertaining to your most holy faith. Better, let me say it like this. Building yourself up on your most holy assignment. Another word for faith. Or you're building yourself up on your set-apart assignment. Other words, God has a plan for you. A plan, not of evil, but of success. Isaiah. To have you at what? An expected end. I know the thoughts. That's imagination. New thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Not of evil, of wholeness. To give you an expected end. Listen to me, an expected end. That is a plan that God has for you. That thoughts are imagination. It's a picture that's already been painted for you. So here it is. Jude is reminding us that verse 19 says, you know, they're going to be coming with their own ideas. People are going to be loving themselves. They're going to be coming with all kinds of foolishness. But ye, beloved, stay focused and build yourself up on your most holy faith. How? How? So the way I combat information or experiences that I have that don't line up with where I know God has me going, the only way I can be built up from that situation is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Why is that important? Because when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, when I'm praying in other tongues, it is not me speaking. It is not me giving meaning. Are you seeing this? It allows, watch this, it allows my mind to be suspended. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, your mind has no clue as to what's going on. It is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. What that sounds like? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It sounds like a mystery. Right? I've never seen it. Have never heard of it. I haven't even dreamed about it. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But it is revealed what was unknown now is known. Now, if I don't pray in the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to reveal to me because nothing has been uttered because I ain't said nothing. Are you seeing this? So if I don't pray in the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit don't have a chance to talk to God through me, which means he has nothing to reveal back to me. No mysteries is being said. Are you seeing this? No mysteries are being revealed. Can't be revealed because I ain't spoke none. So if I ain't speak no mysteries, then how can I combat erroneous pictures that I'm getting about where God want me to go? Because I ain't got no information to combat it with. Because I ain't said nothing. I ain't let the Holy Spirit speak through me. I ain't let the Holy Spirit and God have a conversation about me. So therefore, there's nothing to reveal. So watch this. If there is nothing to reveal, go to verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Sounds like Jeremiah 29:11. Verse 8, watch this. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Then it goes to, but it has written. In other words, what God is saying is, I got things I want to accomplish in your life, but I can't accomplish them. I can't accomplish them going a normal route. I had to get my son into the earth realm, but I couldn't go the normal route. So I had to go get a virgin who never had sex before, get her impregnated to have a son. Why? Because what's Satan looking for? Satan looking for a man to get with a woman. Because that's all he knows. Now, he knows Jesus is coming because they've been prophesying it from centuries earlier. The Messiah is coming. Isaiah talked about it. The government shall be on his shoulders. The old prophet prophesied about him. Then even when Jesus was here, listen to me, even when Jesus was here, Jesus would do a miracle, heal somebody, and he'd tell them, don't go tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Even in Matthew, the fourth chapter, Satan face to face with the Messiah and still couldn't figure out who he was. He said, if thou be the Son of God. Jesus never answered him. Jesus never revealed who he was. Why? Because if Satan would have figured out who Jesus was, Jesus would still be alive to this day. Because they know if Jesus ever get crucified, all the sins of the world is going to be taken care of. What my point is? My point is that mysteries that are revealed to us help us paint pictures that we can sit and rest in God knowing that we're headed toward the reality of it. But if I'm not praying, I have nothing to combat it with. If I'm not praying in the Holy Ghost, in my heavenly language, that means nothing is being said. No mysteries are being spoken. So if no mysteries are being spoken, nothing can be revealed. So that means I can't get no other information to help create a picture of who I am. Because I'm not praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Holy Spirit has everything to do with your imagination. If you're not praying in the Holy Spirit, there's nothing to reveal. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither entered into the heart of man, those things which God prepared for them that love him, but it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. So if his Spirit is doing the revealing, that means the Spirit is helping me paint the picture of my imagination so I can bring it into reality. So now watch this. When the Holy Spirit reveals these things to me, not only is he revealing these things to me, but now I have divine backup that they have to come to pass. See, when God created that imagination for Joshua, now God became obligated to take them walls down because he had already said he was going to give it to them. He already said he was going to give it to them, so now he needed Joshua in the earth realm to imagine it. When he imagined it, God planted that seed in that mind. When God planted that seed, then God was able to give him instructions, and they were easy to follow. Why? Because you got a he had a revelation. He had what was not known to other men, he knew. The same thing is available to us. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, whatever is unknown to other people can be known to us to help us paint a picture so that we can get ourselves steady, steadfast, that we can rest in God and let God do what he's going to do in our lives. So that's how important praying the Holy Spirit is. The longer you pray, the more mysteries you're releasing. The less you pray, the least amount of mysteries you're releasing. Dealing with situations, you don't know how to deal with them, pray in the Holy Spirit. Mysteries are being released. That's what the Bible says. And what the Bible says about mysteries, they can be revealed. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, they can be revealed. And I think it's so wonderful that God say, I'm revealed them by my Spirit, who is the very Spirit that released the mystery. So if you don't pray in the Spirit, how you expect the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you and you ain't want to pray? You ain't give a chance to speak nothing out, but yet you want stuff revealed to you. People who are not filled with the Holy Ghost can't get 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Can't get verse 10. They can't get it. Because if you ain't spoke no mysteries, how they going to be revealed? Because principle for Genesis first chapter, in order for it to have an earth realm, it first got to be spoken. So if it's not spoken, it can't happen. What am I saying to you? Begin to build your prayer life. Whatever you're praying now, increase it. You can't do anything to hurt yourself by doing this. Sometimes I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, and God don't say nothing to me while I'm praying. But later on that day, God speaks something to me that I needed to hear. And see, you have to trust the timing of God. See, God is awesome. Jesus said something to the disciples. He said, I got to go, but I got some things to tell you, but you can't handle it now. So I'm going to go so the Holy Spirit can come so you can be prepared to hear what I got, hear those things. He'll talk about me, and he's going to reveal those things that I couldn't tell you. You know what I'm saying? That's John the 14th chapter. There sometimes things are withheld from you because you're not mentally prepared to handle it at that moment. But that don't mean God ain't going to reveal it to you. That doesn't mean God won't reveal it to you. That just means I need to be getting prepared. I need to position myself. How you position yourself? Keep following the voice of God. Live your life. Do what God tells you to do. And when you do those things, God's timing. God always revealed things to me. And that's how you in my life. God never spoke to me late. God never spoke to me too early. God, I tell you a quick example. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You don't hear nothing. I'm coming home one night on interstate. Me, my wife, and my son in the back seat. And we drive on interstate behind this 18-wheeler. And I get over to my left lane. When I get over to my left lane, I'm coming across Highland Road. I'm on I-10 going east. I get into the left lane to pass the truck up. As soon as I got in that left lane, I heard loud as can be, hit the gas. So I immediately react. I hit the gas so hard to where my wife gave whiplash action. She slammed against the back of the car, out of the seat, and she looked at me like, well, what is wrong with you? That's exactly how she looked at me. Soon as I saw her with those, boy, what is wrong with you, eyes looking at me, her eyes got big because she's seeing headlights coming across from the other side going I-10 west, coming across the interstate. Coming across the interstate, a car headed directly for us. If I wouldn't have hit that gas, that car passed, came across the interstate, bobbing and weaving, came across and passed so close to my truck to where the back of us, we fishtailed. That car hit, this is the sad part, that car hit that 18-wheeler, bounced off the 18-wheeler and ran head on into the car behind the 18-wheeler, and that car exploded on impact, killing five people. Now, as you well know, I was very nervous driving home for the rest of that drive home that night. Because if I had not heard the voice of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about, timing of God, that's something that needs to be revealed. You can't make this up. You can't orchestrate that. God told me hit that gas. My wife ain't hit nothing. My son ain't hit nothing. I just hit the gas. She looked at me like, well, what is wrong with you? As soon as she saw the car coming, car passed by, our lives were preserved. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Spirit and God having his perfect timing. So whenever you begin to close here, when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, and you begin to increase your prayer life, God becomes obligated to reveal things, because now he came back up on what he said. It all began in Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Chapter 2, verse 4, he said they began to speak in other tongues as the what? Spirit gave them utterance. As they began to speak, the Holy Spirit gave them meaning. We'll pick up there next week. Y'all have a good night.